Father, reminded again of your sovereignty, how you're over all things in the affairs of men, and have a program for the affairs of men, all governments, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is going to take control and who will rule over all things. And we just want to commit our time to you as we probe some things to learn further about the things that you're teaching us here. And so we commit that to you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go to our open contributions, I'm reminded of a statement that a brother made years ago that stuck with me. And he made a statement that some of these commentators are just that, commentators. And they really don't have a clue. And we get off into scripture, and these bookstores are groaning under the weight of books written by people that don't really have any understanding. And so it takes an in-depth study of the Word to get into these things. And one of the things that I found to be very helpful is numerology. We get into the just pure numbers of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock. And at exactly 3 o'clock, Matthew and John said he released his spirit. That's 6 hours on the cross. Well, apparently the price tag for the sin of man was 6 hours on the cross. He completed that 6 hours, and he said, "It is finished." And he released his spirit to the Father. And so we can go through these things, and it's illuminating to look at it under the lens of numerology. First of all, Keith mentioned in Daniel, back in chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, and didn't get into it. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now let's go to Revelation and see in chapter 20 in Revelation. I found this recently in my study. Why are they opening these books? What about these books? These books that are being opened. We go to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. We have something here that flies in the face of what we're thinking. How are these people judged by the works of these books that are open? And let me suggest to you that this is the lost people, and that there are relative degrees of suffering in hell. And that's why the works and the books are open. It has nothing to do with salvation. We look at God, and He's a just and fair God. And we know that there are rewards for the believer. But it makes perfect sense for there to be degrees of suffering for the lost. Because we look at these hideous monsters like Adolf Hitler, I'll tell you, Khomeini, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, these just terrible monsters that destroy people. And yet, we also know that there are lost people who live very moral, honest lives, but they're still lost. They do not know the Savior. And so it makes perfect sense for the degrees of suffering and hell. And that's what the books in Revelation tells us they are judged by their works. Well, that's what that's talking about. They're judged for the degree of suffering in hell by their works. We move on. The dispensational view of Scripture is the key that unlocks Scripture. Have you ever worked a jigsaw puzzle? If you have, you look for those flat edges first, don't you? The ones that go around the outside. They're the easiest to find. You take those flat edges and put them in the puzzle because they're easy to find. Well, that's what the dispensational view of the scriptures is. It's those flat edges. It's easy to find. From that point, you work from the picture. You look at the picture. Well, if this was a picture or a jigsaw, I thought, what would the picture be? It would be Christ. And we look at the puzzle, and there's Christ in his different roles. In the center would be King of Kings. On one side would be intercessor. Another area would be the lamb that was slain. And so we spend our lives putting these things together and trying to understand them and looking at Scripture. And Scripture is always the best commentary on Scripture. And having said that, we look at the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is actually the outline of the Bible. The Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. We'll look at a verse that's very familiar to all of us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Will your sins be as scarlet? They shall be as white as snow. Will they be red like crimson? They shall be as wool." And so this sets the tone for the entire Bible. For the next six books, that's what God is doing. He's pleading with men. Come, let us reason. Now let's go to chapter 66. Because the picture changes a little bit, which would correspond to the book of Revelation. Isaiah 66, 16. "For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." He's still pleading with men, isn't he? But he's pleading by fire and his sword. We all know people, and met people, that the only way they come to salvation is through the most grievous circumstances. Well, that's what's going on in the tribulation period. The most grievous, difficult circumstances. That's the whole point of the tribulation period, to bring people to Christ. Now, if the books of Isaiah correspond to the different books of the Bible, let's go, there are 39 books in the Old Testament, aren't there? So that would mean number 40 would correspond to the book of Matthew, wouldn't it? Let's look at chapter 40 in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." That verse is quoted, and even in Matthew it says that. Now we can't do that with every verse, but yet we have internal evidence right here that indicates, number one, God wrote the Bible to use different men to do it. Secondly, the canon of Scripture is closed. Internal evidence that puts the close on the Scriptures, because we know there are those that come up with all kinds of different things. So here again we're looking at the comparison of Scripture with Scripture. Now, let's go to the book of Matthew and look at something else. Matthew chapter 22. All right, Matthew 22, let's start in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sends forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And a remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. So we have this parable, and Christ is talking about this wedding, and the king is God, and Christ is the Son. Isn't it a little bit radical to execute people declining a wedding invitation? Because that's what happened. We have an invitation to a wedding, and they decline the invitation. Isn't it a little bit radical just to execute for that? Well, let me suggest to you, they were invited to the wedding as the bride of Christ. This is the church age. What is left for those who have declined Christ? Judgment. That's the only thing left. And that's why people have been invited to accept Christ, but they declined, they declined, they declined. And this gives rise to the tribulation period. And I hadn't heard of this view until sometime in the last 10 years, that there are people that will go into the tribulation period that cannot be saved. A very interesting thought. And we look studying the book of Daniel, and we look at Nebuchadnezzar, and then we look at Belshazzar. And one man couldn't be saved. He reached the point. Now Nebuchadnezzar was saved. But there was another man, his grandson. That was it. It was over. He completely rejected. And that there's only the judgment left. We take that thought and proceed. Go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out on the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now I would suggest to you that that's the 144,000. This is all the tribulation. He's expounding the tribulation period. And 144,000 go out to evangelize and bring people to salvation. Let's go to that in chapter 7 in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Let's start at verse 4. And I heard the number of them that was sealed, and they were 144,000. For the tribe of Judah sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben sealed 12,000. For the tribe of Gad sealed 12,000. And on and on. So we have the 144,000. What's the result of their efforts? Down to verse 9. After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Let's skip down to verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them clean for the blood of the Lamb. John tells us there's this huge multitude that no man can number. And one of the views of that is that there will be more people saved in the tribulation. And it's not the church. The church is gone. But there will be more people saved in the tribulation than have been saved in the church age
and since the beginning of time. Now, how can it be? Well, the Earth's population is the greatest that it's ever been. The gospel is everywhere. Printed page, electronic media, just all kinds of different ways that they can hear the gospel, and they'll have a reason to get saved. They'll have it right in their face. This whole world is gone and blue. So the rapture has occurred, church is gone, and God is still bringing people to salvation in Christ.
Get the microphone.
And listen, we got to wind it down. It's 5:30 is the meal. So whoever stops, give thanks for the food.
Just one question, Bob, on what you're saying. I know the scriptures say that there's a great multitude saved that no one can number. I mean, that's very clear. I was just wondering on how you came to the conclusion that there was more going to be saved during the tribulation than would be saved in the entire church age.
Just the basic logistics of all of it. First of all, there's more population on the earth. The earth has never had this much population. Nowhere, not anywhere near this. The number in Revelation is a number that no man can number. And the gospel is everywhere. It's all over. Scriptures, printed media, electronic media, all different media. But the thing that puts it over the edge is the tribulation period. They will see God for who He is and their need for God. Because so many times people, that's what it takes. Just like deathbed conversions. That it takes these things, and that would make tribulation the crown jewel of grace. Exact opposite of what we would think. It's actually there's more people getting saved during that period. And it's God's grace. He just, what happens is he throws his hands up and says, oh well, holds his people out, turns to the sun, says, okay, it's time. And then everything goes to pieces and people get saved.
Why don't you go ahead and pray for us, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and love. Thank you for this time we can spend in the Word, and thank you for the fellowship. And we just want to thank you for the food that you provided for us for our nourishment. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Supper at 5:30.
What's for dinner?
Food.